We were going to spend a little bit of time with you before we left, and then we found out, we'll get to Florida, we'll rent a car, and we'll drive up to Atlanta when it's time. Well, we got here, and apparently Florida had rented up all the cars. There were no cars to be had, so we had to leave rather quickly on the first side of our trip. But it's good to be back with you and get to share the work that we are doing in Paraguay. And when I talk about we, I want you to understand that it's not just our family, but it's Palm Beach Lakes and us working together in Paraguay. So the good work that we're getting to do in Paraguay. Just to, there it is. Y'all remember where Paraguay is? Okay, there it is. Just to give you a refresh, a little over 6 million people. When we first moved down there, I didn't know exactly where we were. Remember that there's two languages in Paraguay that are very important. The Spanish, of course, that we work in and learning, and the kids are going to school in Spanish. But Guarani also is an Indian dialect. It's their national language. And so it's not a pure form of Spanish necessarily, because they mix a lot of words with Guarani. And so we're learning sort of a hybrid. All our animals and plants and things like that are Guarani words. So it's pretty fun. Here's Asunción, where we work, and the top picture is a picture across the Rio Paraguay and over to one of the palaces. And just to give you an idea, the makeup of the city, you have the haves and the have-nots. You know, that picture of that nice house looks like something you might see around here, and there are nicer houses than that down there, but you have the have-nots. And actually, this picture was taken not just a stone's throw from the capital. People living like this along the river and other places around Asunción. But I want you to understand also that this is also the makeup of the church. It's the same dynamics that we have in the church. And so in the church, you have the haves and the have-nots. In the church, we come together as a family, and those kind of things kind of disappear, right? And we are one body. And so that's what the church looks like also. Just to give you an update on the history, kind of how things have unfolded. In 2003, there was a team that went down to Paraguay, and Chris Fry was on that team, and they started the work, and their first year was just learning the language, learning the culture, and getting into that culture, and they worshipped with two congregations that were already there, the Central Church of Christ and Capillata Church of Christ. And then in 2004, in September, they started a congregation, Sacramento Street Church of Christ, and that's the congregation we work with down there, is a Sacramento Street Church of Christ. And so they started that work. And they have a good relationship with the other congregations. They attended that inaugural service with them, and we meet and do other activities with them throughout the year also. Well, in March in 2009, the Sacramento Street Church of Christ merged with the Capillata congregation. And what was happening was most of the members that worshipped in Capillata, which is outside of Asunción, lived in Asunción. And they said, it doesn't make sense for us to be driving out there. And they approached the Sacramento Street congregation and said, can we merge with you? And they talked for 3 months and worked out the details. There was no property involved to sell or anything like that, so it worked out very well. They merged. And what that did for the congregation, so in 2009, you have a congregation where the oldest Christian could be about 5 years. The oldest Christian, as far as in the faith. And you have a situation where the congregation Capillata, they've been out there for 20-plus years. And so you have older, mature Christians. And so that brought a lot of maturity into the congregation. And the members from Capillata were very excited to be a part of the work at Sacramento Street. And so it's been a great marriage. It's been a really good fit. And we brought a lot of maturity into the congregation as well. And I want to say, side note, I forgot to mention this earlier. This presentation's for you. So if you have questions, raise your hand. I'll be happy to answer them. Just at any point, just raise your hand. This information is for you. I'm just trying to give it to you in a way that you can process it, if that makes sense. So that was a merger. In October 2009, just after we got there, we started the process of buying a piece of property. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And it wasn't finished until September 2010. There was a lot of red tape tied up with the paperwork on the behalf of the seller. They had some issues, so it all finally went through in September. Now, currently the work has been there for 7 years and has a membership of 80 members. And so it's growing and doing very well. Here is the current mission team. You might recognize a few people up there. Of course, some of you might know Brittany Dye. She's visited us here before, and she married Alejandro. She is on your right. She married Alejandro, is a member of the church, grew up there in Paraguay. So they're on the team. Kara and myself and some two crazy kids. Troy and Andrea, of course, you know those guys. And then Perry Harden and his wife, Alba. Brittany Dye and Perry were both single when they came down to Paraguay to start working. And they worked there for a while, and they are now married. And so they both married Paraguayan nationals. And so the kind of the thing is, if you come down to Paraguay single, you might leave married. Perry Harden, actually, his brother was on the original team, and he came down to work, and then his other brother moved down, and so at one time, there were three Harden boys in Paraguay, in a lot of trouble, I think. But September 2009, that's when we left Palm Beach Lakes and went down to Paraguay. There's some people who are in Miami. Y'all know about what that looks like. Here's our seasoned travelers. They're really good at traveling. Here we are arriving in Asunción. And the team was there with signs to welcome us. It's good to finally be there. Now, the first thing that we were involved in when we got there, you know, we're learning Spanish. You know, like the next week, we were starting Spanish. So that started right away. But we went to a men's and women's retreat. Kara went to the women's. I went to the men's. And what happens is every year there's a holiday that we use to have these retreats. And what we focus on with the men is focus on planning for the future. We focus on leadership and having leadership classes. Because the ideal is to get them into those roles, into leadership roles, and have them making the decisions. So that's what we were first involved with. And Kara went to a ladies' day out at another lady's home. And the only picture I have is them cooking in the kitchen. It means nothing. I'm not saying anything by this picture. I'm just saying that's just what I had. That's what Kara gave me. So I'm not trying to be mean or anything. But we really try to focus on these retreats and have specialized teaching during these times. So it works out very well coinciding with their holidays that they have. October, November, and December. We're going to break these down in 3-month pieces. If you remember last time... Well, one time I went to Nigeria, and I was there like 2 weeks, and Dan was giving me this kind of sign when I was trying to, you know, turn it off when I was talking about it. So we've been down there a year and a half, and so I really had to hurry through this. October, November, and December, we moved out of the old property. And yes, we took the kitchen sink with us because it was ours. We put it in there. The rules are down there, if you do any kind of improvements on a property, you get to take those out. You leave only what was there when you got there. You go through it. Look, when we rented the place we're living in, it talked about the light bulbs being in there. It said light bulbs, the cheap kind, you know, down to that kind of detail. And so when you leave that property, you have to make sure light bulbs, the cheap kind, are still in there. So when we left this property, you remember before it was just an abandoned mattress factory. It wasn't anything. And so we did a lot of improvements to make it usable. And so we took all those out with us. And we moved just 2 blocks down the street. So that was a very good thing. You know, we had been looking all over the place for property for more than a year, looking for property. And the month came that we had to move out. And the property opened up 2 blocks down the road. And you cannot tell me God was not involved in that. We get to keep the same letterhead and just move 2 blocks down the street. So it worked out really good. It was an easy move. Here are the kids helping out with that and their friend Tiago. This area was all like a classroom and office space. And those are all connected with temporary walls. We took all those temporary walls out, moved them over to an outside building in the new property, and we're excited about that. We can maybe subdivide some spaces in the future. We were there a month, maybe 2 months, and the termites got into it. It was like termite candy. It was crazy. They ate them all up. So I'm so glad we moved those out of there. So, Here is the new building, and what we're worshiping right now. And I'll have pictures and more information on this later on. But here's what we're worshiping right now. In December, we have an end of year lunch, and we get together like, you know, something we do here. We don't have the skit thing going on yet, but we'll work on that. So here we are, end of the year lunch, and here's some members. And these members here that are sitting down, they actually travel an hour and a half to come to services in the morning. An hour and a half by bus. And they have to walk 30 minutes to get to where the bus stop is. And to make it even more intense, Isaac sitting here in front, he's in a wheelchair. And they come. Use the pointer. Does this work like this? Is that the pointer? That is not the pointer. What'd I do, David? Did I turn it off? Do what? At night. Yeah, this is nighttime. We turn the lights off because I can't sleep. The lights on. Yeah. Hey, here it is. There's a pointer. So I never use a pointer because somebody says, use the pointer. I was like, I can't even see it. Can you see that? This is Isaac, right here. Isaac is in a wheelchair, and they still make it. And the, you know, and we're down there teaching them and helping them and encouraging their faith and helping them grow. But there's times when their examples teach us a lot about what true faith is. And so this is a great family. I don't like the gold one, David. I think you should have got the silver one. There he goes. Okay. Good morning. I think I got it. Yeah. All right. We're getting there. Maybe. Okay. Vacation Bible School. January, February, March. In January, we have Vacation Bible School because that's our summertime. And, you know, it's been weird getting to that whole hemisphere. We're on the bottom side, you're on the top side. It's a different kind of thing. So January is summertime for us. And normally when groups come down to work with us, they come in June, July, like Palm Beach Lakes. You know, y'all have been coming shortly. And that's wintertime. That's dead winter for us. And kids are in school still, and we do a VBS sometimes. And we have kids that attend because there's some orphanages and some kids from the streets that attend. And so it fills up, but that's not the normal time to have it. So the Paraguayan said, we know how this works. We've had enough groups come down and have done it. We're going to do it ourselves. And the way they kind of approach us with it is they talked to us, you know, some ladies got together and said, we're going to do a mission, or we're going to do a VBS, and you guys can help if you want to. They took the initiative on that and wanted to do this. And we were very excited to see them take the initiative and want to do that and have this event. So here they are with some of the kids. They had skits and things, and so it was great for them to put this on. Excellent. February. Troy and Andrea came down. Here they are arriving in Asuncion, and Josiah and Vivian holding up their signs. Tio and Tia, aunt and uncle, and so they were glad to see them there. Now you remember their like 18-20 hour travel turned into like 54 hour ordeal. Them getting down there, don't go through Bolivia. Don't go through Bolivia. There's always problems going through Bolivia, but they worked out. In February, we had a team workshop. Gary and Jill Heydrich came over from E2 Brazil. And they've been working in Brazil for 30 years. And they provide the service to missions teams in South America where they'll do it for free, come over and work with us. And they, you know, with transition, with the Fries getting ready to leave and us kind of newbies on the field, we thought it was a good idea for them to come over and share their experience with us and kind of give us some ideas and pointers for kind of restructuring some things with the team. And so it was great for have them there that February. April, May, and June. In April, we had a ladies' day. And this lady came down from, Charlotte came down from Quito, Ecuador. And she has been a missionary there for a long time. And so Spanish wasn't a deal at all. And we had 40 ladies attend this ladies' day. And we advertised to the community also on Facebook. It's interesting, when you advertise with Facebook, you can dial in gender, age bracket, where it is, zip code-wise, and that kind of thing. So we're really able to use that effectively, and we had some good responses from that. In May, we had the church retreat, Actually, we just finished one since we've been here, actually. And we rent this Korean Bible camp. There's a lot of Koreans in Paraguay. And there's a Korean Baptist group, and we rented their facilities. And so a lot of facilities have a plaque in Spanish and Korean. So it was just really interesting. But we rented that for the weekend and have a focused, specialized teaching. And it's a lot like SO kind of experience. And then I preached the first time. We've been there 7 months, and I preached for the first time. Which actually, technically, I read a script, technically. But, they were patient with me, so... You recognize some of these people? They came down and visited us during this time also. It was great to have them there. You know, there was Kara's sister, and Kara's sister's mother-in-law came down also during that time. And so there were all these ladies in our house. The cooking was awesome, and I was outnumbered severely. But, they came down, and we didn't even have our stuff yet, and they came down and visited us. And so they were troopers. Jackie was, they were on the plane for so long, and she hugged me when we got there, and she said, "I really love you." So, it was good having them with us. World Cup, that also took place. Do y'all know what that is? Do you know what World Cup is? I had no idea. I was ambushed by the World Cup when we got down there, and soccer is a big deal. I understood that soccer was a big deal, but I didn't really understand what this World Cup thing was. And when Paraguay's playing, the city shuts down. You shouldn't be out shopping because you're not going to be able to do anything. Everybody's watching TV. Even at work, they're watching TV when Paraguay's playing. And so this is our home. We had some people over the youth come over to watch. And they're wearing those striped shirts. They call them albirrojas. That's the albirrojas, the Paraguayan thing. And I'm sporting the American jersey because I have to represent. And so we're watching the game. Paraguay and USA never played each other, so there was never an issue there. So here we are. We watched one morning before Bible class. We watched because of the way the time thing worked out. And so here we are. Josiah there with his albirroja on also. It was a great time. After one of the games, I went outside in the street to buy a little jersey for Vivian. And there were some guys that were riding on the hood of a car that were wearing the wrestler outfits, the Mexican wrestler outfits. And the flags on their back and that kind of stuff. And they jumped off this car, ran right up to me and grabbed the guy that was standing right here and just bouncing him up and down. And I said, "I am so glad that was not me." But it gets insane. It gets insane. You recognize this guy too. Johnny came down and visited us in June. So it was good to have him down and check on the work and make sure we were doing all right. And so it was fun. Brittany came down also during that time. July, August, and September. In July, our stuff arrived. And Kara and I, we took our stuff up to Nashville the July previous to this. And so for a year, we were living out of 8 suitcases and borrowed stuff from other people. So, we survived. It wasn't a big deal. And then July came. It was like Christmas, And I was like, I don't remember even packing this. And then there was other stuff like, why did I pack this? Because now you're like, I don't need that. I don't need that kind of stuff. So anyway, it worked out great. We piggybacked with Troy and Andrea together. And when Troy and Andrea dropped their stuff off, in Nashville, it was the day that the earthquakes happened in Haiti. And so the people that we use for shipping, they're primarily a relief effort. So understandably, our stuff kind of got put on the back burner until they could get our container down there. So that's really what delayed it. But it wasn't a big deal. We had stuff from Brittany Dye borrowed and things. So it worked out great. In July, also a Dyersburg group from Dyersburg, Tennessee, youth group came down. And it was raining on them also, and it does that during that time of year. And here they are in front of the palace that you saw the backside of from the river earlier. Here is the VBS that they did. And we had some orphanages attend this event. There's an orphanage that's just 5 blocks up the road from the church building, and we tried to do a lot with them. And this young man that you see, I'm going to use a pointer again. Here it is. Right here, there we go. This young man you see right here, he came, but he'd only been at this orphanage for a month. And he said the whole time he's been there, he's never spoken. He's never spoken. And the second day when he was in my car and we were taking him to the building, he started talking. And the lady that was with me from the orphanage, she started freaking out. He's talking, he never talks. They were so excited. And so it was neat to be a part of that kind of helped open him up. That experience with him. and these kids in this orphanage. It's a Catholic-run orphanage, and I think I've told you this before, but, you know, when they pass by a church building, when they're taken anywhere sometimes, they say, "That's my church. There goes my church." So they identify themselves with the group that cares for them, that we are involved with them. And so it's great to be able to be involved in their lives that way. What we do for contacts is we have like an English campaign from time to time. And so in August, we advertise in the paper, on Facebook again, and in various other ways for an English campaign. And what we do is we're not teaching ABCs to these people because we don't have that kind of time. What we do is we advertise conversational English. And so they already have a base, and they come and for free, I think it's a 6-week process, we study through the book of John together. 2 hours a week, we study through the book of John, using the Bible, obviously, in English. And they have a base, and we just practice back and forth. Now, a lot of these students we're still studying with. And what we've done is, after we've gone through the book of John, we take the Searching for Truth booklet. They have that in Spanish and English, and we go through that together. And so there's some big words in there, but we get through it, and it spurs a lot of questions. And so we'll be praying for some of these students that we're still studying with right now. You have Mother's Day and Father's Day, and we have those in Paraguay also, but they also have Kids' Day in Paraguay. And so we have little activities after services for the kids to do, little games and stuff. This is the property that we're on, and it's a house. And so in the back, there's a big yard and all kinds of fruit trees and things that we can play with the kids. And so we have the kids there to play with on that day. In September, we signed the ownership of the new building. You see E.K. Yegros there, the older gentleman. He grew up around the corner from the people that owned this property. And so I think that kind of greased the wheels on us being able to buy this property. He was the spearhead on this. And we used the Paraguayan men as much as possible in all this process. We used them when we went to look at properties to make sure that this was something that was good and have their perspective on it. We have members of the church who are architects, and so they came to make sure the property was useful. And so they checked this building out to make sure we could build on and around it before we bought it. And so they were involved in every step of the way. And so E.K. was involved in the signing the paperwork over. So the church officially owns property in Paraguay for the first time that we know of. So this is a big deal. October, November, December. October, we had an intern come down for 3.5 months, and she stayed with us. And she's in between high school and college, and she was 4 months in Germany with a lady and her husband that had been there for 30 years. Her husband had passed away, but she's been there for a long time. And then she came down and experienced how it is to be a new missionary in a place, and we haven't been there 30 months yet. And so she really got to see both ends of it and experience. And so she taught English classes and learned some Spanish while she was there, and we had a free babysitter from time to time, so that wasn't too bad. Of course, from this picture, you can tell that Josiah and Vivian hated her. So, these are Kara's parents, and they're actually here with us this morning. They came down and visited to make sure that we were taking care of the grandkids. All right. And Ken is drinking the Ten a Day, the national tea. It's very popular to drink in the summertime. And it's basically loose leaf tea in that wooden cup with a straw with a sieve basically at the bottom, a filter at the bottom, and you just drink it. You know, it's like iced tea. You just drink it a cup at a time and drink it through that straw. And that's very, you pass that around, you'll see a group of guys just passing one cup around. It's very, just how it works. And if somebody offers you Ted a Day, you can't deny it. You just suck up your germophobia and you just drink. And that's how we roll down there. So anyway, see Connie here, that's Diet Coke in that cup, so don't worry about that. But with Vivian, you might recognize, maybe hard to see him. This is Robert Martin. You know that guy. We went over to Easter Island in November to check out the possibility of maybe going over there a few times a year. Yes?
Is he on the left or the right?
Yeah. That side. No, you can't say that anywhere else. I can say that here. So, yes, he's on the right. Anyway, we were checking out about going down there a couple times a year. We're not in a position to be doing that just yet, but we were looking at just the mechanics of doing that. So we went down there, and we're with him for a week down there. We talked to the guy that operated the radio system down there on the island, and he said, his name's Jose. He said we could advertise for free if we wanted to. So there's possibilities there. Now, just to give you a perspective, Easter Island, if you try and Google Earth Easter Island, you're going to have to really zoom in. You can't even find it on the map. It's just a blip. It's 2,300 miles from the nearest inhabited other place, any other inhabited land. And so it's the most isolated inhabited island on the planet. And so it's very interesting. It's 4,500 people that live there year-round and 50-plus thousand people that visit this place on an annual basis. So it's out there. Brittany Dye-Yegros, you met her earlier, and I just wanted to give you this information. When you get married in Paraguay, you have to have two services. Now, Brittany and Ale, they were married in Tennessee, but when they came to Paraguay, they had to get married again for legal purposes and that kind of thing. But you have to have a civil ceremony. You can have a religious ceremony, but that doesn't really count. You have to have a civil ceremony and go off to a separate area. And there has to be a judge there, and the judge will read you a contract, and you say, do you agree to therefore above mentioned, and you sign on the dotted line kind of thing. And so they did that when they got back to Paraguay, and we just had a party afterwards. And so that's what this is, a lady reading a script, and then they sign on the dotted line. So just to give you an idea of kind of how they do things that way. And in December, it is our habit to open up our home as much as possible. We have the youth over quite a bit. Can you imagine that, us doing anything with the youth? We have the youth over quite a bit. We have families over every week trying to get them at our homes and learn. You know, as we felt comfortable speaking and we didn't have the same conversation with them about the weather every day because that's what we knew at the time, we had them over for dinner to get to know them and have them know us. And so we're in the custom of doing that. Well, Kara had all the ladies over for a ladies' day tea, which, you know, their work day is from 7 to 7. And to get through that, kind of around 3 o'clock, they have a merienda, is what they call it, or a tea time or something that is basically equivalent, where they will have something sugary and high caffeine just to push on through the rest of the day. And so during that time, during that tea, Kara had the ladies over, and they all shared food, and Kara introduced Dirty Santa to the ladies there. And so they all brought a little something and traded that, and they loved that. I was banished upstairs to my office. And I could hear all the hooting and hollering going on downstairs and could tell they had a great time. And so, you know, what we're doing is getting into their lives. You know, we come into this culture and we're outsiders. We're outsiders in language, in culture. And so we're trying to get into their hearts and to get them into our homes. And that's how we've been doing that. So that was a good event. Just to give you an update on the building. Here's the old property. You've seen that before and how we worshipped. We didn't want to buy this property because that was the extent of the parking, and we were getting to where I think 180 was the max we could have put in there, and it was way too overpriced. The guy wanted way too much for it. So we moved here, two blocks down the street, and this is the first day we were in it, and you've seen the picture already with how we had it set up for worship, and here's the front side of that building. And we took the tree down, made open it up for parking, and tried to hang this what's called a pasacalle, or a cheap sign up there, so people know that it's not a house anymore. And, you know, when we looked for a property, we were also looking for a place that was on a main intersection or a main avenue. And we're one block or one just building off of Avenida Sacramento and España, which is a major intersection. And we're right next to Casino Asuncion. We literally... This, can you see that pointer? This is a casino right here. And we share a wall with the casino. We can smell their food. It's pretty good, but haven't tasted it yet. But that casino is painted like a leopard. The whole building, big building, is painted like a leopard. So we're the lamb next to the leopard in Paraguay. And so it's a great landmark for us to be able to say, we're right by the leopard building, you know, at this intersection. Like, oh yeah, I know where that is. You know, everybody knows where the crazy leopard building is. And so it's a really great location. Buses pass through it on a regular basis. Lots of bus lines are right there, so it's easy for our members to get to and from because they have to come, a lot of them, by bus. So it works out very well. Now, I told you there's architects in the church And they have been with us every step of the way for the drawing up the new plans, because we're going to build on and around the new this property. And they have drawn up these designs for possible what it's going to look like. And so they're still deciding on what it's going to look like, but this is the one I liked, and it's the leading thought right now. And so just to give you an idea of what we're going to look like in the next years to come. Now, you see the car disappearing into the building there. We're going to be a drive-through Church of Christ in Paraguay. We don't have room for parking up front because the property is like 18 and a half meters and 64 meters long. It's like a little over a quarter of an acre, but it's long. And so most of our property is in back. And so we'll cut a hole and just drive through, and you park in back. Now, the first phase, we've divided this up in phases for the building process. The building's paid for through funds raised here in the States and some funds that the members paid for. It's paid for. And the first building phase, the members have taken out a loan from a man in Nashville, a member of the church in Nashville, an interest-free loan, and they've raised $15,000 for the first phase of the building. Now, $15,000 may not seem like a lot, but when the average income is $4,000 a year, that's huge. They've raised that much. And so we're going to start this first phase, and what's going to do is give us a larger upstairs area and more classroom space. And so we'll have basically two large areas that will kind of divide one up into classrooms more and then worship in another one. And the second phase will be the auditorium. So that's something else we can be working toward in the future, and that'll be in back. And we'll have 250 to 300 seating in that auditorium. So you come down and visit us, and we'll go to the drive-through Church of Christ in Asunción. Something that we wanted to share some things with you with about how we built a life in Paraguay. This is Lourdes. And Lourdes is our hero. She's the one that introduced us to and helped us get through Spanish. And Lourdes knows no English. And we knew where the bathroom was and how to order two tacos, basically. And so we got there, and how we did this was she would show us pictures of Jorge and his family. And so we learned a lot about Jorge. And she'd say, Jorge is reading, or Jorge is doing this, and we'd repeat and kind of understand what those words meant and built up our vocabulary. So we learned a lot about Jorge and Maria and their two kids, and so she helped us. We studied 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 8 months with this lady. And we, up to this point, Kara and I individually she studied 550 hours with her, and I've studied 550 hours with her in Spanish, and we're going to continue to study when we get back. So it takes a lot of study time, and your brain feels like mush after some days, but it's working. We can speak Spanish with some of an accent, but we can speak Spanish. I was talking on the phone. We'd been there 6 months, and Troy and Andrew were there, and we were helping them find a place to live, and I called this guy up, and I was talking, asking questions about the house, and he just stopped in the conversation and said, why is it you Yanks can never lose your accent? And I said, give me a break, man. I've been here 6 months. So anyway, here's where we live. Now, only part of this is ours. This over here is a duplex, and so this is our gate, and this is our garage door. And so you see the fence. This is the end of our property in back, our patio, and this big wall, and then a 2-foot electric fence on top, just because you need that kind of security. It's not like really bad there, but if it can get stolen, it will. So you just make it not really easy to steal. And so there have been problems in this neighborhood in the past. I mean, it's a nice neighborhood. You know, we moved to this area because it's outside of Asunción. It's nice and quiet, you know, when we were looking at the house. And then we find out later on that just around the corner, there's a discoteca. Do you know what a discoteca is? I bet you can guess. And so on Friday nights, you know, late at night, and that party gets thumping around 11 till early in the morning. Troy and I, we ride the bus in sometimes early for the men's meeting. And we've been out there, and there are guys at 7 o'clock leaving that place. So they party all night long. But with the AC on, you can't hear anything. But it's so, we found that out. But it's a great place working out for us. Here's the living room you've seen. This is it without people in it. Here's the kitchen, just to give you an idea of the kitchen, kind of where we're living. Driver's license. We had to get driver's license. And, yes, I hear you snickering. They don't do good pictures down there either. So that's what we have. But this is where we got the driver's license, and we were kind of nervous. We weren't sure if I could be taking pictures of this yet, so I kind of did a hip shot, you know, with a camera. So that's what we got. But when you get there, and you can go through the process by yourself and go to this window and fill out, you know, this form and go to the next window. But the easiest thing to do is just go there, and there's a guy there that everybody, you know, he's a Hestor is the official title. And you talk to him, and he takes the paperwork, and he gets it done, and you just pay him what it costs to get it done, and then a tip. You know, I asked him, you know, what kind of tip is average? He's like, oh, you know, I get all kinds of tips. You know, that's like, you know, I'm not going to give you an answer because I want some money. But anyway, so we tipped him a little bit, which makes it a whole lot easier than us trying to figure it out. And that was our first month there, so it would have been impossible for us to do it ourselves. That's just the system and how it works there. So here we are. We had to buy a car, and here's the car deal going down. And they're reading the contract or the title to me. And we paid in cash, which was really weird. Never had that much cash on me in my life before. And it felt like a drug deal going down or something like that. Like I was carrying, not that I know, I've just been told that that's how that feels. So anyway, it was good. Here is the car. It's a 97. You know, it's a lot like Johnny's car, but it's diesel. Diesel's the cheaper running down diesel down there. We need to get a car that was higher out of the water because when it rains, it floods. And literally, the streets turn into rivers. Yes, sir?
Did they drive on the correct side of the road?
They do. That has helped us out a lot. They drive on the correct side of the road. Now, driving is, the term driving is loose, but it's on the right side of the road, so most days. And so we put a seat in the back and so we can haul other church members around, that kind of thing. It becomes kind of a church vehicle, but it's great. You see the kids there. Yeah, driving's insane there. Insane. They'll turn a two-way street into a four-way street, and you don't know who's coming and going. So anyway, what's that?
Like Miami.
But slower. I think we only go like 40 miles an hour is like as fast as we go. Like you go any faster, your car will fall apart. The streets will just tear it up. So Dan asked, you said you have to do maintenance on your car from time to time. I said, yeah, suspension. You have to do, yeah, it's insane. So anyway, this is our Paraguayan green card. And again, they don't do good pictures there. And I had waited a long time in line to get that picture, so give me a break. That's what you get. And the kids, we hauled them all over the place getting that kind of stuff done there in front of the immigration's office. It was interesting when we went in there to get it done, you know, you have to go up and get your picture taken and smile on the camera and they scan electronically with your fingers. And I was looking at everything and there's a sticker on it, on everything, on every camera, on every computer, on everything, paid for by the American citizens, U.S. aid. Everything in that office was paid by the American government. So thank you very much for your tax dollars in making that possible. No, they used to do it by hand and write everything out and file it by hand. And so it took a long time. It took us 8 months, 7 months to get our stuff done. So that was record time. Here are the kids going to school, first day of school, which is a big deal anywhere, but it was a big deal for us in Paraguay. And, you know, here they are in their uniforms. These are their PE uniforms. And they go to a private school. Now, I use the word private school because they could not go to the public education. Education level is not that great, and security is an issue. The schools only go half a day. Morning to noon is one group, and then the teachers rotate students, and noon to evening is another group. And security would be an issue for our kids going there. So they go to, it's an average private school. They're the only American kids. There's a few other international students. But they're the only American kids that go to this school. So they stand out quite a bit. I would show up to pick Josiah up, and he'd say, Dad, let's get out of here. The girls are touching me today. So he did not like that, but they get lots of attention. But it's all in Spanish. It's all in Spanish. They have a couple hours a day in English, but it's like hello, my name is, kind of English. It's not. So we have to substitute teach, give them English and that kind of thing at home. So they can keep up with English. But for a while there, Vivian was reading English words with Spanish accent. So that makes, you know, we got to fix that. So anyway, but they're doing great in school. Here are their classrooms. And so that's a big deal. Vivian hoarding toys already. So soccer is a big deal. Y'all know that in the Latin culture, soccer is sort of big. And so in Paraguay, and this is some of the members of the church told us, get Josiah in a soccer club. And that was one of the first things we did. And so we put him in a soccer club. And he It's a great-looking penalty shot, but he didn't make it. But they play soccer, man. I mean, we keep points. And there are penalty kicks, and penalties are called. And, you know, all it's like Munchkin real soccer. But it's part of the culture. Every young man gets into a soccer club. And these soccer clubs funnel up to the national team eventually. That's kind of how they work that. So it's been great for us meeting other families and having contacts with other families too, as well as the school. We promised the kids a dog when we moved down there. And so we got them a dog. This is Hunter. Vivian loves it when we show this picture. So if you talk to Vivian, she'll talk to you about Hunter. And so he's family pet slash guard dog. You saw that area in front of the house where we'd park our cars. Well, the kids ride their bikes out there. And when Hunter's out there, he's growling at anybody that walks by that fence. He can't see him, but he knows they're there. He's growling at him. So he's a good guy. Take care of the kids. Now, I want to show you this before we end. These are the baptisms that have taken place in the last year and a half since we've been there. And there's actually been quite a few since we've been gone. So things have been going very well with the work. But each one of these has a story. This is Ramon, and he's the only one in his family that's a member of the church. And he's had a lot of pressure about that. This is Carlos. A lot of people that are baptized are the only ones that are Christians in their family. In a Catholic society, where Catholic is really a family religion, a lot of tradition and pressure from the family. And so they really have to come out and separate from that. This is Luana and her cousin Patty. And Ramon. Josiah really likes Ramon. Ramon plays soccer with Josiah. And it's a great bunch of people. A little bit about Ramon. Ramon came and he just started worshiping with us. He just came off the street one day and started worshiping with us and was interested in studying. And eventually after he got comfortable, we started studying more and more with him, and he eventually was baptized. And he was there every time the doors were open, even before he was a Christian, but even more so now. And he's a part of the men's meetings. We have men's meeting every other Sunday morning. He's a part of that, so he's really got plugged in very well. That's the work. Are there any questions before we finish up? If y'all think of anything, we'd love to talk to you this afternoon or whenever. Just stop us and ask us questions about what's going on down there. Thank you so much for your support and the work we're doing together in Paraguay. We'll talk more about it here shortly.